for some of you all that are, you know, new to the to this kind of experience, have to actually sit this close to people. So if you don't mind, as people come in, just scoot over one. And if you have coffee, can you please be mindful of where you put it? Because the person behind you, if you put it too far in your seat, they might kick it over. So be mindful of that. All right. All right. So today we're going to pray for just this part of town. And there's a lot of churches in this area, so we're going to be praying for all of those churches as well. Inside of your church bulletin, there's this little white slip of paper. For those of you visiting us for the first time, you can fill that out as the offering plate is going around. This is all we ask that you do. Just let us know that you were here. If you have any prayer requests, go ahead and put that on there also. So, yeah, we're going to be praying for the local churches. I think maybe in a two-mile radius, we're probably talking in the teens how many churches we got. So we're going to pray for this neighborhood, pray for the church, local churches. Pray for the families in these neighborhoods, and let's go ahead and get started. Go ahead and call the ushers up front. Pray over the offering. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to be here. We thank you for all the local churches that are serving on this side of town along with us. There is no competition. There is no one-upsmanship. There is no trying to outdo, outperform. Lord, you did it all on the cross. That's all the performing we need. We thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for our sin. And since he's died for our sin and we don't have to perform, let us just sit here and just worship and serve you, Lord. We thank you for the offering about to receive for the building of your kingdom. We ask that we use it in a way that brings you glory and honor. And we just thank you for these and many other blessings in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you look in your church bulletin, it's a little bit on the thin side. We're not as busy as we were, which is good, right? So Sunday service, again, every Sunday service that will for the next few weeks, there will be no child care. So again, we have space available if you want to take your child. In that area over there, we have some sofas and chairs. We also have a work night coming up Thursday from 6 to 9, and that will be continuing on until we get everything fixed. We have little odd and end jobs that need to be done. We have an hospitality team. If you have a desire to serve, the name Bunzo, her email is in here. If you want to serve, that's a great way to serve. Also, the children's ministry once a month. Once children's ministry gets kicked back up, we need some people to come help out. And the women's book club starting Tuesday, July 14th at 7. There's an email from the Nibalski, Miss Marcy. Her email is in there. And Trinity Rescue Mission is coming up on that day as well. A great opportunity to serve the underserved here in Jacksonville. God bless.
All right. Good to see all of you this morning. Amen. You know, in an effort to accommodate the kids, I'm going to keep this fairly brief this morning. In just a little bit, we're going to share communion together. That's really the focal point of what we're going to do. But the one thing I just want to say as we get started, we just have to remember, and many of you know this and you know the story, we're sitting in a miracle, you know, really just a miracle, a gift from God. And so I just want to first just thank God for his gift to us. And we prayed. We were in a time of need. We'll talk about that in just a minute. We prayed and he answered and he provided, and he is the God of miracles. Amen. Amen. Give God praise and thanks. He's good. You know, I don't know how many of you were in the meeting where we actually came together and said, man, we need to pray. Our kids' area is busting at the seams. We need to pray, and here's our prayer. We need more space that costs us less money. And that was our prayer. And I remember afterwards, a couple of guys, one of the guys said, you know, I was at that meeting, and it was just like the craziest thing, you know. God, we need more space and spend less money. I mean, that just doesn't happen. Doesn't happen unless God moves, right? And so he moved, and so we thank him and we praise him for that. But I also want to thank the people of Grace Fellowship, the congregation that met here before, a kingdom-minded group of people who weren't so attached to something, even though they had invested so much in this place and in building this place and getting this land. They didn't hold on to it so tight. There's a lot of congregations in Jacksonville that have big buildings and about 30 or 40 people sitting in them, and they just won't let go. But I want to thank God for a group of kingdom-minded people who willingly said, here is a gift. They were led by God and gave this to us as a community. And so I want to thank them. And may we continue that generosity. And then everyone who gives the resources, their time, all the people who came up and helped to make this happen. And once we get in the new building, we'll have a big day of celebration, and we'll really have a time of just thanking all those people. And but today we really just wanted this to be about Jesus, because it's important to me that we all remember that even though this took it was a labor of love, and a lot of people have poured resources into it, it's really about Christ and his kingdom, not about a building, right? And so I want to pray, and I'm going to share a little bit, and then we're going to share communion. But let's just pray and get our hearts right just to hear from his word today. God, thank you for your provision. I thank you for God blessing us again in so many ways as individual and as a community. God, we're very grateful. Thank you for every person who's given their time and their resources. People have opened up their hands to be a blessing to those in need. And God, help us all to do that. God, I pray that this morning would be about you, and we'd be reminded of how important it is, God, for our hearts to be turned over to you, to release our grip on our stuff and our lives, and to surrender to you, a good, good Father who loves us and loves this world. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so it has been quite the journey to get to Emmaus, right? We've been talking about this for a long time, and we've been talking about getting over to this place and changing our name and all that stuff. And this is great, and we celebrate it, and we praise God for it. But may we never forget, it's not about buildings, it's about people. Acts 17, verses 24 to 28 says this: "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands, and he's not served by human hands, as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring." So look at that verse. The God who made the world and everything in it, he's the Lord of heaven and earth. He gives life and breath to everybody, okay? All of life is a gift. May we never forget that. The fact that we could come into these doors, it's a gift from God. And then that second part, he says, he determines the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God knew that you would be sitting here this morning. God knew that we would be here this morning. It's not by chance, okay? We serve a God who is sovereign, and he brought us to this place, and we thank him and we praise him for it, and we thank him for his miraculous provision, but we can't forget the heart of this passage. God does not live in houses built by human hands. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
God doesn't live in buildings. He lives inside of people. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of us. And so if we want to accomplish all that we believe God wants us to accomplish as a community called Emmaus, it is going to take all of us surrendering to Jesus, using the gifts and talents that he's given to us, and reaching out to this community, to this city, and to this world. And so I just want to remind us, this is great, but this isn't the end game. Okay? God doesn't live here. He lives in us. This place is special because he gave it to us. It's special because we gather together in worship. But I want you to know, if we gathered together on the back of this property under a tree and sang to the Lord, he would be just as present there as he is here. Okay, it's not about this building. We can't make it about this building, because as soon as we make it about this building, then we've lost. Because God wants us to use this place we come and we grow and we're equipped and we worship corporately, our hearts are changed, and then we go and make a difference in this world. That's what it's all about. Most of you know that this congregation started as a little Bible study, okay, in our house, in our dining room, and it was a group of people who just were believing that church could be something different. So I want to share something with you, and I'm just going to take a few more minutes, but I want to share something with you from the first time we gathered outside of our home. You know, we went to a couple clubhouses, and then we were in a position like we were not long ago. We needed a place to meet, and so we were praying, and we were believing God, and God miraculously provided a place for us to meet. We couldn't afford it, so we shared it with another ministry, and it was just a real cool thing. So our first meeting in a building 8 years ago, okay? 8 years ago, I got up, and I want to share this with you. It's going to come on the screen. You know, ignore any bad grammar or anything like this. It's just my notes from 8 years ago, okay? For starters, we want to be a church that engages culture. That is to say, we want to free people up to learn to be themselves so that the world might see that we are real people who have real issues and problems. But we have a real God who sees us through and at times miraculously moves on our behalf. With that, I pray to God that we would not be a church where everyone looks the same, talks the same, wears the same kind of clothes, and has the same color skin. We must be a community of believers that is loving and accepting, willing to walk together and to help one another change the things that keep us from being closer to God and closer to one another. Before we ever had a building, we had a vision. Now, as we sit here in this facility, which God has miraculously provided for us, I realize more than ever, the last thing this world needs is another man or group of people with a vision. What the world needs and what God desires is a people that will, with all integrity, attempt to be true to this word, to God's word, and to live it out in a culture that in many ways stands opposed to it. May we never forget Jesus' words in Matthew 16:18. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Whose church is it? It's his church. Who's going to build it? He's going to build it. What are we to do? We're to be that church, right, in the world. We think God wants us to be out in the center of culture, sharing the love of Jesus with people, not creating our own Christian subculture. Don't miss that. Our focus, loving God, loving people, and as we do that, seeing him change the world. 8 years ago, that was our dream. Now we sit again in another facility. This is our third miracle that we've seen like this. And God's provided this for us, not so that we could get comfortable, not so we can get behind these four walls, but so that we could come together and grow and go and be the church in a world that desperately needs to know his love. And listen, we're all in here. We're all in this thing together. It's not about pastors. It's not about staff. It's about the people of God going and being the church, okay? We're all messed up. All of us. Listen, you're messed up. Listen, you are. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're messed up. All right? I just. Thank you. I appreciate that. I needed someone to tell me that, other than my wife. Listen, we have to realize that, right? The ground is level at the foot of the cross. We're all messed up. And the world out there is really messed up. But here's the thing. We have a God who loves that mess. And he takes broken people and he takes that mess. And if we will allow him, if we surrender to him, he'll make something beautiful out of that. He will make something beautiful. And he'll take you, all of your stuff. Like I said 8 years ago, it's our hope that you'll be freed up to be yourself among the community of God. Where you need to change, God, help us change. But we could be ourselves and walk through this life and show other people, hey, listen, God loves you right where you're at. And he loves you too much to leave you there. He wants you to grow. And so we need to be continually surrendering to him. Jesus is building his church. And I want to make sure that we don't forget, his church is about another kingdom. And as we take communion in just a moment, there's communion tables on either side of the stage, and there's one in the back. We have to remember, this is about another kingdom. There's a lot of things swirling out in our culture today, and I don't have time to talk about that, but listen, we need to be about another kingdom. Jesus came, stepped out of heaven, came to earth, walked this earth. He died on the cross. He was buried and he rose from the dead. This really happened. And he ascended into heaven and he sits at the right hand of the Father and he's our advocate. And so we live for something beyond what we see here, or at least we should. And so in just a few minutes, when you go up and share communion with your family, friends, I hope no one will go up alone, grab someone. Remember, Jesus died to take the brokenness and put it back together. He died for the brokenness of this world. It's his desire to reconcile all things to himself. And the crazy thing is, he uses people just like you and just like me to do that. And it's as simple as you surrendering your life to him. It's as simple as you taking steps to share that love and grace with people around you and let the world know that we do have a good, good Father who loves them. And so I'm going to ask Levi if you'll come back up. Communion is on either side, and it's in the back. And as we sing these next couple songs, take a few moments maybe to sit and just sing or just meditate on what we're singing, to the words and the goodness of God. And then make your way to one of the communion tables. If you're a believer in Jesus, take that bread and let it remind you of his broken body for you. The cup, his blood that was shed for you to take your brokenness and put it back together. And not just that, that you would then take what you have and share that love with the world around you. Stand with me if you would. I want to pray for us. Let me read this passage as a reminder. 1 Corinthians 11:23-26. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And he is coming again. Let's pray. God, I pray that somehow in the midst of all that's going on in life, you'd help us to see through it and see you for who you are and see your kingdom. God, that you will return and you will rule and reign, and all that we experience here, your word says it's kind of a mirage. Our lives are just a mist, here today, gone tomorrow. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. So God, may we surrender to you today. It's my hope and prayer that we'll all surrender to Jesus today, to receive his love and receive his grace and allow it to change us, and then to carry that to the world around us. God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for sacrificing all for us. You're invited to come as you are, because Jesus loves you just as you are. And he wants to change your heart. And he wants to shave off the things that need to be shaved off. He wants to shape and mold you into more and more into his image. But just come as you are and then allow him to do his work. He's the potter and we're the clay. God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.